Alright, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 106. Psalms chapter 106. Man, what a great start to the service today. Casey and Paul, you're actually singing like you meant it. And I mean, it's come straight from the heart. And that's, man, I love the old songs. And, you know, I was thinking, Jessica and I were talking last night, I did a little bit of Sunday school lesson on it, and I'm sure Dad had mentioned it before too, but it's one thing to know the scriptures, it's another to know the Christ of the scriptures. And to really get to know Jesus and how Jesus is and who he is, and man, it'll change your life. And the scriptures do, but man, to know Jesus of the scriptures. And all the songs this morning, between the He Leadeth Me and all the songs pointing to Jesus Christ. And man, what a great start to the service. Psalms 106, and we'll read verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place. Lord, man, what an encouragement already this morning, Lord, to be in your house and to hear from you already through song, Lord God. And Lord, just starting off with the cross, Lord God, with the choir, Lord, and just, Lord, the focus, Lord, has to be on Jesus Christ. And Lord, so glad we're in a place where the focus is on Jesus Christ, and then about, Lord God, His saving us, Lord, and then His leading us, Lord God. And man, what a day that will be when we go see Him face to face, and many of our, Lord, loved ones have, and Lord, and my own dad, Lord God, and just think about that often, Lord, in Christ's presence. Man, what a place to be. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, that does not know Christ as their Savior, today would be their day. And Lord God, what a life-changing thing to happen to them on a Sunday, Lord, June 13th, God, just that God, you would come into their heart and life and save them. And Lord, there's no better place, Lord, than to be at the church house and hear the preaching, Lord God, for them to accept Christ as their personal Savior, Lord. What a great, Lord, what a great time it would be, Lord, and what a great time it is to be a Christian, Lord, and to be a, Lord, to be able, Lord, to be a witness for you in this world. And God, we just thank you for this place. Be with the messages as preached. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason, for that. And man, as he mentioned, thanks for the music this morning. And the choir always does a great job. And then the Knights with a special. And Josiah with the offertory. So thank you for all the music this morning. And we read the verse there in Psalms 106 and verse 23, and we've been talking for the last few weeks about, really, we started this Memorial Day and what God is doing in our world today, and especially in our country. And as I mentioned the last couple weeks, I don't want to sit back and say I didn't do anything. We look around at all that's going on in our country, and as we talked about already, just get tired of some of the things of the world, right? I'm tired of hearing about Pride Month, and so we're doing Prayer Month here at Go Grove. Not that junk that the world tries to push on us and fall on all of themselves to do. So you get frustrated with that sometimes. But you realize that God's put us here, and we don't want to just stand by and watch changes take place without doing something about them. And so we talked about the last couple weeks, and 2 weeks ago we mentioned Phineas, who sort of rose up from the congregation and saw the sin that was going on, and he was zealous. The Bible said he's zealous for the Lord. And through that zeal, he turned the wrath of God away from the nation of Israel at that moment when he took that stand for God. Then we talked about last week in the book of Daniel, where Daniel saw what was going on with those who were in captivity. Those that were Israelites were away from their home. And he wasn't praying for the Babylonians. It doesn't mean he didn't care about them, but he's talking about his people, Israel. And so to turn God's wrath away from them, he went to his knees in prayer. And that's something else we need to be doing. To turn God's wrath away is to make sure we're in prayer for ourselves and for our country, for those around us. This morning, we'll talk about this. And we read the verse there in Psalms 106, verse 23. And this mentions Moses. And it says there that Moses, to turn away God's wrath, God's ready to destroy the Israelites. But it says Moses stood before him in the breach. Moses stood in the breach. And we use that phrase, there's another time the Bible talks about the repairer of the breach. But here it talks about Moses standing there.
And Moses being the one that's going to say, I want to turn God's wrath away from Israel. And if you read here, and we read verse 23, back up a little bit, and it tells you the story that it's mentioning. Look at verse 19. They made a calf and Oreb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgat God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. And so it shows us the story he's talking about. And so we're going to spend our time in that passage. So go to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And we read about Phinehas a couple weeks ago. That happened at the very end of the wandering of the people of Israel. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And so at the end of that 40 years is when that story happened. This happens about 40 years before that. This is the very beginning. The Israelites have just left Egypt, and they've just crossed the Red Sea. God has begun giving instruction to Moses. Moses goes up into the mountain there at Sinai for 40 days, and we're talking about just weeks, months at the most, after they've left Egypt, and Moses has been there 40 days, so a little over a month with God. Joshua sort of halfway up there. And so very, very short time after they've been, in essence, the deliverance from Egypt is a type of salvation. It shows the salvation. So just a very short time after they've been saved from Egypt and from that slavery, now they're here as they're waiting on Moses in Exodus chapter 32. And Moses becomes one who stands in the breach to turn God's wrath. So how can we do that? How can we turn God's wrath from our country as Moses did from his people as he stood there in the breach? How can we stand in the breach for our country? Well, I think we look at this story and get an example here from Moses and what he did here in Exodus chapter number 32. First thing is this. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 10. This is God speaking to Moses. He says, now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. God tells Moses, says, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. You know, the first thing, if we're gonna stand in the breach, if we're gonna do that for our country, for our family, for our people, then first of all, we have to see sin the way God sees it. Moses saw sin the way God said. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we just read verse number 10. It says, God, his anger waxed hot when he saw the sin of the people. And then God saw those things, and I love this passage here. Go back to verse number 7. In the first six verses, it tells us what's going on. It tells us they're making this molten calf, this golden calf, and they're beginning to worship them. Aaron sort of led them in that. And so the first six verses mention that. Verse 7, we get back to the Lord talking to Moses. And look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. God's trying to give them back to Moses, right? It's like parents. They take care of your kid. And God's telling Moses, no, they're your kid. They're yours. And then Moses comes back, no, God, they're yours. And they're trying to give them back and forth because they're being disobedient. And so God sees that sin. God sees what they're doing. And he tells them in verse number 7, he says, those people, they've corrupted themselves. Maybe look around at our world today. They've corrupted themselves, right? And that corruption sometimes makes it into the church and unfortunately into our lives, but they've corrupted themselves. And he looks at that and tells Moses that. Look at verse number 8. It says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They hadn't been gone long at all. Moses only been gone for 40 days. We're talking about a little over a month. And they've turned aside quickly out of the way which I've commanded them. And they're living a life, this sin that they're a part of. And God gets angry at that. It upsets him. Look at verse number 9. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. God says, I've seen them. I've seen them, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. He says, it's a stubborn group. It's a stiff-necked people. He says, I've seen them. I've seen what they're like. And remember, again, we're not talking about a long time here. There's only been in the wilderness, been away from Egypt for a very, very short time. And God says, I've seen them. I know what they're like. And his wrath waxes hot against their sin. And why don't you go to verse number 19? And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh. You know, Moses hadn't seen anything yet. We'll come back to the verses in between there as Moses pleads with God. But Moses hasn't seen what's going on yet. God's already seen it. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. What happened? Moses got angry at sin just like God did because he saw it as God did. He'd been up there with God, and God had given him the commandments they were supposed to go by, and already the nation of Israel was going against those things. And God saw that sin, and he got angry about it. His anger waxed strong. Moses sees that sin, and he saw it as God did. And when he did, it caused him also the anger to wax hot. Verse number 18, he heard the music that was coming from them, that worldly music. Joshua didn't know what it was. Moses did. He says, no, that's not war. There's no fighting going on. He says, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And so he heard that. He saw the calf and he saw the dancing. And look what happens in verse number 19. In verse, he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath them out. He takes those commandments that they had already figured to be broken and literally broke those commandments that God had sent with him because his anger waxed hot. Verse number 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto me? Thou hast brought so great a sin upon them. If we're going to be somebody who stands in the breach, we're going to have to see sin as God sees it. And by the way, I want to stop here a second and notice what kind of sin it was. I can get up here and preach about homosexuality and abortion, and I can get amen, amen, amen. But let me tell you something. This wasn't just a wrong philosophy. This wasn't just, boy, I don't like the way what they're teaching. This wasn't some theory they're teaching in schools or anything like that. No, what this was their lifestyle was the problem. Boy, what the problem was I get amens for abortion and homosexuality, but I start getting on country music and why you're listening to that filth, and I can't get amens. You know why? Because it's our lifestyle, right? Hey, let's start talking about the TV shows that you're watching that take God's name in vain. Oh, but no, I don't watch the stuff that has the real bad cuss words on it. Hey, it takes God's name in vain. Is there anything worse than that? Hey, it takes His name in vain. God said one of the commandments that Moses took and threw down on the ground, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Boy, we can get a boy, that homosexual crowd, and boy, that is sin. That's wicked and ungodly. But it's also sin when you take God's name in vain. When you're listening to your music that promotes immorality. When you're watching your TV programs that promote things that mock God and have their innuendos that get your mind away from the things of the Lord and on the filth of the world. That's also sin against God. And by the way, that's what they were doing here. It wasn't just, boy, they're talking about things that are wrong. No, it was their lifestyle. That was the problem. God looked down and saw their sin. Do we get angry at sin like God does? Does that anger us when we see sin? When we see someone singing against God, when we see it in our own lives, do we get angry? Moses, the way he could stand there in the breach for his people is because he got angry at sin. We know Moses, throughout the Bible, several different times where he had trouble with anger. But you notice here in this passage, there's no condemnation from God for Moses' anger against the sin of the people of Israel. None. God never condemns him for the breaking of those commandments. God gives them back to him later and gives him another set. But Moses looked at sin the way God did. He saw sin the way God saw it. I'm telling you this, it's going to be hard for us to stand in the breach and turn God's wrath away until we begin to see sin the way God sees it. And that's what he did. Then secondly, not only did he see sin the way God sees it, look at verse number 12. In Moses, verse 11, Moses besought the Lord his God. We'll start there in verse 11. It said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, there, thy servants, whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land I have spoken will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And of course we know the Lord, the Bible says the Lord repented. It doesn't mean he did anything wrong. It means because of Moses pleading for his people and his intercessory prayer, God listens to Moses. But here's the second thing. Listen, we need to take a stand against sin because it's wrong, and see that sin as God sees it. But here's the second thing. It's so important for us. Moses saw sinners the way God sees sinners. Moses began to plead for these people. Hey, he began to ask God to help these people. He says, turn from your wrath. And he tells God, you brought us, you're the one, God, that brought us forth out of Egypt. Hey, God, remember, you're the ones that delivered us. And he says, God, remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And boy, how they established what you wanted them to do. And the heritage that Moses had. And then look at verse number 32. It says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. Moses asked God to forgive their sin. He says, they have sinned a great sin. In verse 31, the end of verse 31, he says, they have sinned a great sin. They've made them gods of gold. But Lord, he says, will you please forgive their sin? Hey, let me tell you, if we're gonna be somebody who stands in the breach, we not only have to see sin as God sees, we have to see sinners. You know what sin? We're all sinners. That's what we are. And I'm not better than somebody else because I'm living a lifestyle this way, or I don't care how wicked their lifestyle is. They're sinners before God, and they need Jesus Christ. That's how God sees them. He doesn't see them as somebody, boy, they're not worth taking time with. No, I'm telling you, all those that are out there in the world today, they're sinners that need salvation. So we've got to see sinners the way God sees them. Moses didn't just sit there and say, boy, the sin you're doing, I can't stand. He didn't want that sin. He hated that sin. But he also said, Lord, forgive the sinners. You know what I need? I need mercy and forgiveness. That's what I need. And I need to see others as I go out into the world. And I need to see them as souls that are on their way to hell without Jesus Christ. Not as, oh boy, the things they talk about and things they do. Yes, those are all sin and all wicked, and we need to take a stand against all that. But we better love those sinners. Love them. You know, that's all we are. All right, we're sinners. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Dad would always say that, right? Saved sinners and lost sinners. That's it. That's all. And so we're all sinners. There's nothing that we can sit back and say, boy, I'm better than this person. Let me condemn what they're... No, we say this is what the Word of God says. Here's the truth, and that's sin, and we'll take a stand against that. But we're going to love those sinners, and we should. Moses saw the sinners as God did. And look at verse number 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Moses said, Lord, if you're not going to forgive their sin, take me out of the book. Now, again, we don't know for sure. Some people think that's the book of life. We do know in the verse 33, the Lord said unto Moses, he says, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And so it could just be that Moses was saying, look, just take my life. Let me take the punishment instead of them, right? Whatever that punishment may be. And we do know that thousands died in the plague here that God put on the Israelites because of their sin. And so very well could be that Moses is saying, God, hey, just take me instead of them. But either way, he's telling God, I'll take the punishment that's coming to them. God says, no, I'm going to punish those that deserve it. But Moses was willing to do that. Are we willing to do that? If we're going to stand in the breach, are we willing to say, God, hey, put that wrath on me, put that punishment on me, so that they can be saved? Lord, don't take their lives. They need an opportunity to get saved. Moses saw sinners as God saw sinners. And then, thirdly, look at verse number 26. Number one, Moses saw sin as he stood in the breach there. He saw sin as God saw it. Boy, it upset him. It made him, his wrath waxed hot. And then Moses saw sinners as God did. He said, Lord, they need forgiveness. They need you to forgive them. And then Moses, and this I think is important for us, verse number 26, says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Third thing is this, Moses saw who was on the Lord's side. That's so important. We better know who's on God's side. We better know. Hey, If not, we'll start to buy into some philosophies that are out there in the world. We'll start to pal up with those that don't follow the things of God. We better be very discerning and know who is on God's side. I'm afraid sometimes as Christians and maybe even some churches that'll join up with people that aren't on God's side. There's a lot of people out there that they're talking about God, but they're not on God's side. Moses says, I want to find out who's on God's side. And so he says, who's on the Lord's side? And the Bible tells us these Levites gathered themselves together in verse number 26 and verse 27. He said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. He says, here's what I need you. If you're on God's side, then you got to take a stand. He says, and you got to take a stand. You got to go throughout the camp. And you've got to step forward and go throughout the camp. And notice what he says, and slay every man who? He didn't say slay the enemy. He says slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. Now, that's not advocating this morning, all right, that you go out from here and take care as bad as you want to with your neighbor, all right? Just don't do that. Don't do that this morning and say I told you to do it. But what he is saying is this, hey, if you're willing to take a stand, as you take a stand and you're on God's side, sometimes that may put you on the opposite side of a friend, companion, neighbor. Are you willing to take that stand? Hey, if that's what it means. And in this case, God says that as a punishment, they need to go. And so they did, and these children, these Levite children obeyed. It says they did according to verse 28 to his word, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men as they purified. The group was there. These Levites obeyed. Moses saw who was on the Lord's side. Verse number 29. For Moses has said, consecrate yourselves. Hey, if we're on God's side, we say, what does that mean, consecrate? The Bible uses that word consecrate. Same word basically is sanctify. That's setting apart yourself. That's saying, hey, I'm going to make a decision this morning. I'm going to be on God's side. Hey, here's the line. I'm going to step over here with Moses and the Levites. I'm going to be on God's side. And if other people don't like that and they get offended by that and they're not happy with that and they don't want to be around, that's fine. I'm not going to have a bad spirit about it. I'm just going to do what God said and let God take care of it. God said, Moses said, consecrate yourselves. He said, consecrate yourselves to the Lord. That means this, I'm going to do what God, I'm consecrated to God, first to Him. And I do what He says first. And then I try as best I can to please other people, but if they're not pleased by that, I'm going to live for God first. And Moses said, verse 29, said, consecrate yourselves today. They don't need to wait. Well, we'll talk to young people a lot of times. Hey, young people need to make a decision for God. And they do, man, make decisions for God. But all of us. Hey, today. Today. Hey, it should be today. I'm going to be a better example at work. I'm going to take a stand for God when it comes to the same. Hey, today with my family, and I'm going to take this stand. And those they don't like it, they don't like it. But this is what we're going to do. I'm going to be on God's side. Hey, today in my life personally, here's what I'm going to do. Consecrate yourselves today. Moses didn't say wait on it. He said, man, there's sin everywhere. Man, take a stand now for what God wants you to do. He said, consecrate yourselves today. And as you do that, verse number 29, that He may bestow upon you a blessing when? This day. So as you take a stand, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. But I can tell you this. You stand for God and you can count on this. The blessings of God are coming. Blessings of God are coming. It may not be, hey, well, does that mean I'm going to get rich and what? No, I'm talking about that. I'm talking, you're going to see God work in your life. I'm looking at a crowd here this morning and there's some of you that made some decisions for your family 40 years ago, and you're still getting blessings today because of those decisions that you made. Hey, you made decisions 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Your parents made decisions 50, 60 years ago. I was talking to somebody yesterday and telling about dad and mom's testimony. And I mentioned this, we went to several months ago, went to the Billy Graham Museum there. And we saw, I came around the corner, and I saw this picture on the wall, big picture there for those of you who have been there. And it's a picture of a downtown area. I don't know what city it was, but it had a marquee up there of a movie theater. And playing at 7 o'clock that night was The Restless Ones. I see the picture. And it's right around in those mid-60s. And I think about October 29th, 1966, when my dad and mom went to a movie theater, had a marquee outside that said The Restless Ones, and they watched that movie, and they got saved. And that decision changed their life, not only changed their life, but influenced mine. Because a decision that was over 50 years ago. Hey, there's decisions we make. We say, all right, I'm going to just do what God said to do. Consecrate yourselves today, and you'll see those blessings of God. They may not be monetary, what we're looking for. But you consecrate yourselves today, God's going to bless that. Moses, he stood in the breach, and he said, God, turn your wrath away from the people of Israel. How was he able to stand in the breach? Because he saw sin the way God saw it. Because he saw sinners the way God did. He didn't throw those Israelites away and say, I'm done with them. God gave him the opportunity to do that. God said, hey, let's just start over. All right? Let's just start over. And Moses stood in the breach. Said, God, please turn your wrath away. He saw the sinners as God did. And then Moses saw who was on God's side, who was on the Lord's side. Are you on the Lord's side today? Consecrate yourself today. I'm telling you, if we're going to turn God's wrath away from America, it's not going to be just doing what we've always done. We're going to have to take some steps spiritually. We're going to have to do more for God than we're doing right now if we're going to see God turn his wrath away. I don't want my children and my grandchildren to have an America that has gone away from God. One of my children was talking this week, and they said, I was talking about growing up. You know, I grew up in the 80s, which is now ancient history, all right, to people. All right, it's hard for me to fathom that, but I grew up in the 80s where, I was actually born in the 70s. And grew up in the 80s, and we were talking about it, and it's like, you know, those things, when I was born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, to me, the 50s and 60s were sort of ancient. That was history, right? I would learn about those in my history book. And now these young people are learning about my childhood and thinking, man, that's just ancient history. But I thought, you know, those people, as I think about growing up in the 80s, and that seems normal. You know, people talk about stuff that happened in the 80s. Boy, I remember that. It's normal. But, you know, there's some here that you grew up in the 50s. And that's like, man, that's sort of what you're used to. That's what you grew up in. And you think of the changes that you've seen. And one of my children was mentioned this week. We were talking about they don't get but so much entertainment at the home. But they're saying, you know, it sort of feels like we're growing up in the 50s and 60s with all that we do. And I thought, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Hey, the changes that are taking place in our country, we don't have to follow all that. We can take a stand and we can turn God's wrath. Moses turned the wrath of God from the whole nation of Israel because he stood in the breach. He saw sin the way God did. He saw sinners the way God did. And he saw who was on God's side. Do we want to stand in the breach for our country? Father, I pray that you'd help this morning each of us as we have a heart for our country, for our families, our homes. Lord, I pray that as Moses did, Lord, we'd stand in the breach. We'd see the sin around us, and we're not perfection, we're not there, but we'd say, I can't go along with that. Lord, that sin is against you. And Lord, I know for me, for all of us, that we just get so used to it, get complacent when it comes to sin. Lord, help us to see sin as you do. And then, Lord, I know for me as well, man, many times we don't see sinners as we should. We either maybe look down on them or think bad of them or think we're better. Instead of seeing sinners as they are, as we are, that they need salvation, they need a Savior. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you, help them to have that today happen where they trust you as their Savior. And then, Lord, help us to be able to discern who's on the Lord's side. Lord, help us as Moses did to see who's on God's side, who's with me. Lord, who's with us this morning? I
pray we have a group to take a stand and say we're on the Lord's side. Consecrate themselves today for you. In Jesus' name we pray. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. And this morning's message is not really a salvation message. We did mention that. And because if you're not saved this morning, you're a sinner. And if you are saved this morning, you're a sinner. But if you're not saved this morning, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, that sin, the Bible says, will take us to hell. The only way to get rid of that sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And those who are saved this morning, you've asked Jesus Christ to take that sin, forgive you of that sin, and cleanse you through His blood so that you can go to heaven as God sees you. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ and no longer sees your sin, and so we can go to heaven through what Jesus has done for us. But if you never trusted Jesus Christ, you're a sinner who needs salvation. This morning, if you say, hey, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on the way to heaven, I'm not living perfectly, and well, there's maybe some sin I need to look at and take care of, or maybe I don't get angry like I should, the wickedness that's around me, or maybe I don't see sinners the way I should, but I'll tell you this, I know this, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you could say that this morning, just put your hand up like I'm doing, say, I know I'm saved this morning. I know we do that week by week. You can put your hands down, but I like to do it as a, well, first of all, I like to raise my hand and just say, man, I'm saved. And to do that and to see you do that, and what an encouragement that is. Here this morning, say this, say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I don't know if I was to die today. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things that are wrong, but I can't say for sure. I know I'm going to heaven. If you're like that at all, again, I won't embarrass you, won't call on you at all, but I want you to be honest for God and just say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Are we willing to stand in the breach and see sin and sinners as God does and say, who's on the Lord's side? And consecrate ourselves for Him. As music plays this morning, I'll be down front here. If you say you're not sure about your salvation, man, let me know. We'll talk to you about it. As the Lord speaks to you, you come forward. Good. Thanks again so much for coming. Listen, if I didn't hit your sin this morning, I apologize, all right, if I didn't get to that one. But now some of you won't have to worry about if yours is If you're just eating too much ice cream, I'm probably not going to preach on that anytime soon, all right, so you can come be comfortable with that. But anyway, and take this morning's and use that as we go forward. Be back tonight. We've got choir practice, junior choir practice, those in place. And then next Sunday morning's Father's Day, so be here for Father's Day. Excited about that. Always great service, so make sure you're here for next Sunday morning. Father, again, we thank you for all you do for us. Give us a great week as we go out from here. And Lord, we do pray that you'd be with those, man, we have some that are hurting physically and just need healing. So be with them and those that have lost loved ones that still, Lord, need your comfort, and just be a help to them as well. And then, Lord, help us to take a stand, to turn the wrath of God away, your wrath away, as you see what we're doing for you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.